the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
My friends, choices are part of what makes character. Choices reveal character. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. In the light of that, if your character is what you would do if you could never be found out, then if you look at yourself honestly, you have to say, this is my character. Unresolved character issues will keep you and me from realizing the life we might have had. It will deprive our children and our grandchildren from the heritage that they might have had. Sin always has consequences. Bad character is a sin issue. It has to be dealt with. It has to be put under the blood. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny.
Someone has said that your reputation is what others think of you. Your character is what God knows you to be. Today, Dr. Jones reminds us that there are long-term consequences if we fail to deal with the bad character traits in our life. If you have a Bible at hand, we invite you to turn to Dr. Jones' text, Genesis chapter 49. Now here's the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
Would you please open your Bibles to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. I'm going to read the first few verses. I've entitled this message, and I give it to you now, so when you read the verses, you might perhaps have a better understanding of where we're headed with the message. I've entitled it, Character Has Consequences. Character has consequences. I think you'll see that as we read these verses. Genesis 49, 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. That is a time later to come for them. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hear and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, or that could be translated boiling over as water, thou shalt not excel, thou shalt not have preeminence. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are they, or in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. And who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And the next two verses go on and speak some more of the blessing that would come to Judah. Jacob, having been for about 17 years in Egypt, is now ready to meet the Lord at about 147 years old. He calls his sons around him and he gives them blessing. He's not only blessing them, but he's blessing future peoples who will live through them. The character issues of his sons affected not only these boys, but their generations to come. their descendants, the tribes of Israel. I think all of us have a great lesson here to which we must take heed. Somebody said, fame is a vapor, popularity an accident, riches take wings, only one thing endures, character. That was from Horace Greeley, newspaper man, founded the New York Tribune, strange guy in his own right. But nevertheless, he said something very true in that regard. My friends, choices are part of what makes character. Somebody said character can be manifested in great moments, but character is made in small moments. Choices reveal character. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. In the light of that, if your character is what you would do if you could never be found out, then if you look at yourself honestly, you have to say, this is my character. What is it? Do you only try to do right and live right because you might be found out, your reputation hurt, or your family hurt, or some ill consequence come? Not because you are determined to do right and committed to do right, but just because you're afraid what will happen if you don't. That's your character. He mentions Reuben, first of all, in verses 3 and 4. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. He said, I put my stake in you, Reuben. Every father takes great pride when that first child comes into the family. But he said, Reuben, your character is greatly deficient, and I can't give you blessing, and God can't allow you, because of your past character lapses, to achieve what you could have achieved had you dealt with those issues and kept your passions under control. So happens that this boy committed a sexual sin with his father's concubine. A horrible thing, incest. It's spoken of in Genesis 35:22. And apparently there was no immediate consequence. Life went on as usual. But his father said, you will face this. Sin will be dealt with. There are always consequences to sin. They may not be immediate, but there will be consequences. And he says, your consequence is that I can't trust you with what I should be able to trust a firstborn son to do and be. I'm going to have to pass over you. And your descendants will feel the result of that. His act of incest left him without dignity, left him without honor. Shame followed him all the days of his life, as it will follow you or me. We allow a character lapse, an indulgence, a choice of bad character made in some moment of passion when we're boiling over, as he did, to destroy us. This boy's character was defined hereafter as incestuous. That's what people thought of him. That's what his father thought of him on his deathbed. I'm sure there were many other good things, and there were. There were a few noble moments that I don't have time to deal with that the history records in Genesis of this boy's life. But that's not what came to the father's mind on his deathbed. The one thing that stuck was his incestuous sin. When you think of David, the first thing that probably comes into your mind, if it's not Goliath, it's Bathsheba. This noble, good man, after God's own heart, the Bible calls him. His whole rest of his life to this present day is defined by people as Bathsheba. Samson's life is defined by Delilah. First thing that pops into your mind probably when you hear the word Samson is Delilah. There were many wonderful things that he did for God. Many noble acts, many acts of strength and heroism. But that's not what you think of. Somebody said character is much better kept than recovered. Character is much better kept than recovered. Young people, my heart is greatly concerned for you. Because you could be a Reuben in terms of a boiling over, passionate, lustful life. And indulging in that, in moments of indiscretion, in moments of bad character, indulgence. You can define your whole life and all the good things you do after you repent and go forward for God, forgiven of God, your sins to be remembered against you no more by God, but remembered forever by others. Character is much better kept than recovered. This man put himself at odds with God when he did what he did. In Deuteronomy 27:20, God said through Moses, "Cursed is he that lies with his father's wife." Think of the consequences life's choices bring. Choices of bad character. You're going to be making lots of choices today. Does your bad character rule you, or does good character rule you? He had privilege granted him to by God as the firstborn, but he lost his eminence when he lost his character. The double portion of blessing that should have gone to him as the first son went to Joseph, in verse 26 of this passage. The chieftainship of the tribe went to Judah, whom we read about here a while ago, and the priesthood went to Levi. And then there were two other brothers here, the second and third born in this family, Simeon and Levi, in verses 5 through 7. How were they described? Instruments of cruelty. Men of wrath. They had bad tempers they couldn't control. Serious character flaws. Bad tempers out of control. Their cruelty was manifested in an incident recorded in Genesis 34 that I don't have time to go into in completeness. But simply let me describe it for you this way. They had a sister named Dinah. Dinah was violated by a Shechemite, a man named Shechem, a Hivite. And Shechem wanted to marry her. And he came through with his father to the family and said, my son Shechem wants to marry Dinah. These brothers were angry and should have been, in a proper sense, over the advantage that Shechem had taken of their sister. And they made a promise to him that if he would meet certain conditions, that they would allow him to marry their sister. And so Shechem and his people met those conditions. And then, in deception, in treachery, Simeon and Levi turned against those men, killed them with the sword, broke the promise that they had made to them, and brought great shame to the house of Jacob. The Bible says their instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Their swords became instruments of cruelty. And he says here, don't come into their secret. Don't come into their company. Don't keep company with people like this, is what Jacob said. Simeon and Levi, nobody should have you as friends, he said, because you're treacherous, you're deceitful, you're angry, and you're mean. And he said, you're not going to be able to have what you could have had when you get your people, get your descendants to the land of Canaan. The Levites were given no certain section. They didn't have a compartment of Canaan to live in as the other tribes did. They were scattered in cities throughout all of the land. Simeon was assimilated with Judah. You never really hear of him again. As Moses was giving blessing in, I believe, the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy to these tribes, as before they went into the land of Canaan, he didn't even mention Simeon. His life was of so little consequence thereafter. He wasn't even mentioned as part of Moses' blessing to the people upon entering the land. There were consequences. God is intolerant of acts of cruelty and anger. God is. God doesn't let people get away with it. If that's your characteristic, if your character is one of not keeping your word, as these men didn't, being cruel, being angry, out of control, ugly words, hateful actions, tempestuous spirit, you have a problem with God, because God says in His Word, Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Proverbs 29:22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." These men had to deal through their descendants with their character issues. You see, what you and I are is not just, doesn't affect us. It affects all who follow us out of our lineage. Moses, for instance, was of the tribe of Levi. Levi and Simeon were the two guys who were rebuked here by their father for their anger and their cruelty. Moses was of a hasty spirit. It was in his genes, I guess. He inherited it from Levi. He smote the Egyptian in Egypt and then had to flee for his life. He smote the rock at the end of his ministry in anger. Moses had to deal with anger. Consequences of bad character carry through into our family. You're not only destroying yourself, but you're destroying your progeny if you won't deal with your character issues. And then there's Judah. I'll just touch on him briefly. His name means praise. His mother gave praise to God. Leah gave praise to God when he was born. He was a noble man. He was eloquent. He was tender. He was the one when the brothers wanted to kill Joseph, and they said, Judah pleaded for his life, and he said, "No, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, for he's our brother." Now, that may sound like a bad deal. You say, "Well, how could he be noble doing this to his brother?" Well, it was the best he could have done, I guess, under the circumstances. You know, they would have killed him, and he was one man against the rest. And he had to cut the best deal that he could for the sake of his brother that he loved and commit him to the providence and care of God. In Genesis 44, beginning at verse 18, when Joseph had yet not revealed himself to his brothers who had come down for food into Egypt, and Joseph said, "I will keep Benjamin here. You go back to your father." Benjamin, the youngest son and greatly loved of his father. And in a noble appeal for the life of Benjamin and for the life of his father, he said to Joseph, not knowing that it was his brother to whom he was speaking, he said, "Don't do this. Please don't do this. My father is aged. He will die." He was pleading for the life of his father as well as the life of his brother. He was an eloquent, tender-hearted, good man. And Jacob understood that. He knew what was in this boy's character. And God knew what was in his character. And God enabled Jacob to be able to say, "This is the one who will receive praise of his brethren." Verse 8. Joseph received praise of his brethren temporarily while he lived, but the tribes, the brothers to follow and their generations would give long-term praise to Judah. And they did. He would have victory over his enemies in verse 8. The following generations to come would bow down to him. He, Judah, was the longest surviving tribe of Israel before finally going into captivity. And then he went on to describe that Shiloh, meaning rest or peace, the Messiah would come through this man's loins. That he would be fruitful, that he would be strong. He would be such a strong vine, grapevine, that you could tie a donkey to it and it would be strong enough to keep the donkey from pulling away. This man will be strong. He will be fruitful. He will be blessed of God. He will be the one honored of all the brethren. Good character has consequences too. It has good consequences. Young people, unresolved character issues will keep you and me from realizing the life we might have had. It will deprive our children and our grandchildren from the heritage that they might have had. Don't think for a minute today that if your problem is lying or self-justification or greed or anger or bitterness or lust, if your problem is rudeness, if you don't keep your promises, if you're not on time, if you don't live up to your commitments and your requirements, that these are just small things. Everybody has his problems, and I have my problems, and somehow it's going to all turn out right. I don't have to address these. I don't have to deal with them as the sins that they are. I don't have to commit them to the Lord as sins for His forgiveness and His strength and help in resolving them. Somehow I can live with these things and life will just turn out all right. That's not true. Sin always has consequences. Bad character is a sin issue. It has to be dealt with. It has to be put under the blood. It can't be ignored. Things just won't turn out just by hiding the sin or living with it, or justifying it in your mind. It will have consequences, not only for you, but for your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren after you. Somebody said, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Our character will haunt us, as in the case of Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Or our character will reward us, as in the case of Judah. What tragedies and consequences are you bringing into your children and grandchildren's lives by your character, the way it is today? It will haunt them, or it will reward them also. I beg you, young people, deal with these sins. Deal with your character issues. By God's grace, turn it into good character. It will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. Your children will be rewarded. Now I ask you, what will you do with this? Let's pray together. Father, in quietness right now before you, because you see us and know us as we are. Some of us should feel great shame for what we are. Shame for our indifference toward our sinful character. We're sowing to the wind and we're going to reap the whirlwind. Lord, for those whose character is Christ-like, who seek for it to be Christ-like, give them greater strength in establishing those qualities into their life that are reflective of the Savior and His claims through Calvary upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
May each of us see God's rewards for godly character as we make choices that please Him. Today's message was preached by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today's Christian Preacher is a quarterly magazine designed to help the man of God in his personal life. It covers issues of personal importance, such as integrity, finances, time management, and family values. Today's Christian Preacher is sent free of charge to those in the ministry, as well as to those who are preparing for ministry. Your pastor can register for a free subscription by calling us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or visit our website at bjuradio.com. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Before we bring today's program to a close, let me encourage you to use the talents God has given you to fulfill God's plan for your life. Choosing a major is more than simply preparing for a job to make money. The qualified and caring BJU faculty is committed to directing students toward one goal, the glorification of Christ in literally everything that encompasses their lives. For more than 80 years, BJU has been helping young people know, love, and serve Jesus Christ as they develop Christ-like character. To find out more about Bob Jones University, call us toll-free at 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. We invite you to join us again next week for a message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.